Hey guys, welcome back to Meet the Experts. It's been a while since we have been broadcasting, and this time we're trying to change it a little, so we're going to focus on more on a verbal discussion about the topics at hand, and so that people can actually listen to it as a audio podcast and not be necessarily required to look at the video. So a major difference between the previous ones and going forward would be there's going to be less presentations, essentially. So it also means that if you're looking at the video cast and there is presentation, there'll be a lot of voiceover and the contents on the slide, so it's going to be a little different. But anyway, so today, in this, you know, early start of 2017, I have with me Erik Markussen, who's the lead architect on the Peep platform.
Hello guys.
And we'll be talking about the extensions kits, which is a new initiative that we've just been starting off. Could you kind of, Erik, give a high level kind of introduction to what this is all about?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a project that I'm pretty excited about. It's basically a result of all the work we've done with creating all the technology for the cloud world, for the Unit4 ecosystem. And the possibilities it will give in terms of trying to combine the capabilities that are there and to add new ones, not necessarily only here in Unit4, but also engage our partners to create a better experience and more automated experiences for our customers.
Oh, so it sounds like it's essentially it's for extending the footprint of the application without doing code changes to the core solution then, or how does
yeah,
this
absolutely.
Work?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a major that's an important point. Doing the bespoke work or customization or changing the default flow in an application is not a new thing. We've been doing it for quite a while in business world and in other products. It's been a very successful kind of feature of our products to be able to do bespoke work and to dynamically load change behavior or new behavior into the applications. The ACT framework has been very successful, where you could add even new modules, everything from new modules to changing the behavior of existing screens, hide stuff, create new flows, and make it just easier for those that use it. But this is fundamentally changing a little bit.
How is that changing? What is the major kind of difference between that? Because one thing, you know, we're talking a lot about the abilities in business world, but the extension kit is kind of broader than business world, I guess.
Absolutely.
It's kind of running on, as you said initially in the introduction, it's kind of running on the complete infrastructure that we've been creating for the last many months.
Yeah.
And then there is a difference between ACT, as you use as an example,
yeah.
And then because there's some elements of ACT running in the same memory, where this is not really. Could you kind of elaborate a little on the execution model of these two different technologies so people don't confuse them?
Yeah. So just to recap what ACT is in business world. So first and foremost, it can only be used to customize business world. And there are mechanisms to do it on different kind of levels. You can do it on the UI level, on the desktop client or on the web. You could hook into workflow processes or services and change behavior slightly, or combine the whole thing to create a more pervasive sort of customization. It works in a way where you load new code into the application and it runs like any other code. So the application itself doesn't really see the difference between what is standard and what is customized. Which is a good thing and a bad thing. The customization developer have access to things like all the data, like the database access and the super user rights. I can do exploit that for realizing quite complex solutions, but it's also sort of a dangerous thing because well, you need rigid systems around that to qualify assure quality assure solutions and make sure that it doesn't get in the way of the standard operation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing, that it's it is a tool to handle with care, sort of. But it's also, by having access to feature function inside the applications, you could do things that, or depend on things that will go away in an upgrade, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sometimes the reason why it takes a while for a customer to get to a new version of the product. Further, if you look at the other side of this, is that this was perfectly fine when applications were running on servers, isolated only for one customer, and not in the cloud, not on shared infrastructure, not on standardized solutions. Then this worked well, but that's not the way we are running and will be running our software in the future. Not only that, there is not one process anymore, there is many. The new style of developing our products is to not develop them as a monolith, where everything runs in one process space. It's separated out over several smaller and bigger services that do dedicated things. So then it becomes hard to target the exact functions you want to to change or add to. And then enter this, so that's not possible with ACT now, to create something that sits in between, let's say, if you have student management and business world used together, to have an integration where you made them integrate in a new or slightly different or more automated way, for instance, there is no natural place to place an ACT. First, it only works in business world. Second, it can only be inside business world. So
if you think about the of these new artifacts that you can create using the extensions kit, so what you're saying is essentially one of the big advantages of it is that it runs in its own memory or in memories and it runs in its own process, right? So it's decoupled from the main production system.
Yeah.
Which means that so it doesn't impact the running execution, which means that you can actually reason about the fundamental application and you can reason about your extension, whereas it can be hard to reason about the complete system if you have like ACTs running, because you just don't know. Who writes ACTs doesn't really know about the reminder of the solution, and the reminder of the solution have no idea what's going on with ACT. So now we're kind of ripping them apart and saying, here's the main production system, nobody's going to touch that, so we can performance and everything stays the same.
Mm-hmm.
And here, whoever wants to write an extension, it runs somewhere in its own pool of resources, and it doesn't inflict any, it's not going to have like a noisy neighbor or any performance impact for the rest of the tenants running in the core cloud solution, right? But again,
exactly.
So the interesting question then, because when you're running in the same memory space, in process, you have, as you pointed out, you have a lot of good access to resources and like event management, like with ACT you can build triggers and views and you can make new validation fields. The new extension kit is doesn't allow that. It's a different type of applications you can write, right? So, and you kind of went into that by talking about having two different solutions and then this extension you create sits in the middle. So, and it uses the same core technology. So if you try to talk a little about, yeah, okay, so we have student management here, and we have business world here, we have my extension, and it's kind of using message hub and enterprise document and events. So one of the things that you can create is like the declarative extensions, like these if-then. So like talk a little about how that works, how that is, because it doesn't require you to code, actually, right?
So let's step that back a little bit. So I was referring to, in the beginning, these new technologies and new platforms that we've been building for the last year, and you mentioned some of them, like the Message Hub. The new sort of environment that we are facing is distributed, It is has clear interfaces, it has APIs conforming to this Unit 4 API framework or guidelines that we have. There are messages going on when interesting things happen in the application. We have dedicated services that you can call them, we call actors, that you can send messages to and they will do work. And with all of this available, we think that by creating the extensions kit as just new microservices in the ecosystem, sort of, it just sits there like anything else, and it can also tap into messages, call APIs, be an actor, call an actor, and tap into other things that are not in standard, like integrate with Office 365 as a first class feature. We think that that gives quite exciting new opportunities while enabling things you cannot do with just Act. And with this first version that we're starting, this concept of declarative extensions is kind of core. We want to get that basically the things that should be easy to do should be possible to do first, and it should just work. So we call those declarative extensions. We also have started to call them flows, because that sort of explains a little bit more what...
Well, it's more like an industry term as well. Right?
Yeah. So, but those that are familiar with this internet feature or system called If This Then That, it's a system that, well, I can define if it's raining, then I get an SMS to remind me to bring an umbrella. Like, kind of mundane example, but it's already being used for quite more advanced automation, and we can call it self-driving capabilities on that. And with these declarative extensions, we're creating sort of the... So, but Unit 4 ecosystem version of If This Then That.
Okay, so but I'm using that technology. Are we creating a similar technology that's just using the same idea?
Now we're using our own technology. So embedded in the message hub, asynchronous messaging, the fact that we are running on the Azure platform and have access to things like Azure Functions and like serverless hosting, but we don't want to immediately, at least, bring on the notion of like coded extensions.
Right.
So this is making a little...
So when you say not coded, right? Yeah. So that actually means that you don't need a development background, or you probably need more like a process background. Or can anyone go and create these declarative extensions, or does it still require a degree in computer science?
Yeah, I think eventually we'll be able to do that.
So we're looking at having a graphical modeler in front of it.
At the core, it's like these flows are just recipes. So they describe to you, so when this happened, give me the context or the data around that. Pick out a few things and then do an action. That's in essence what it can do.
So an example could be let's say you're sitting.
Trigger filter action.
Yeah, so you're sitting. A good example could be then you're sitting inside Business World, and you're then creating a new invoice. Then Business World will send out an event saying invoice created or updated. Or
yeah, it's already like doing that.
And it's doing that today. So we actually implemented that in M6, had pub subscribe.
Yeah, pub sub.
And then now we're going to have the events coming out into the message hub. That means that going forward, you'll actually be able. So you sit there and you create an invoice. It sends this new invoice created and includes, say, a reference to the invoice document and put it all on the message hub, which is all good stuff. And then you, as a customer, you can create a small extension that said, if event invoice created, then send the document to some other data store. And you can take the store and you can actually create a small application where you can look at all invoices. You can have your own kind of data repository of invoices.
Yep.
Or it could be sales orders. So for an example, if you have a situation where you have an e-commerce solution sitting and the e-commerce solution creates a new order, and that goes in as a document into business world, you could at the same time create all the orders coming in your own kind of application if you wanted to, or do something like it, that, kick off a workflow.
Yeah.
You can kind of hack
you
away.
You can use this declarative action handling or a flow to connect things that are not connected from before, right? But we aim to have like built-in features that makes it easy to integrate with mail systems and definitely the Wanda system.
Mm-hmm.
So one action could be to,
oh, yeah,
to reach out to a user and let Wanda say, hi, this happened, and then let her take over the interaction.
So but that would so to do that would require then some kind of protocol in a Wanda service to react to a specific event for her to proactively do something. So it's like if a change happened somewhere in the system, it would send out an event saying this happened, and if you have a Wanda service, a bot, it could pick it up and notify Wanda, and then she could proactively, just like with travel, a meeting request was created, do you want me to go find travel? You'd create that for software.
Yeah, exactly, and it's this ecosystem capabilities that we are building now. It is, while we will try to make them really good and make Wanda very, very proactive at the right time out of the box, there might be situations where, well, something important for this company means that Wanda should contact the user and start one of these conversations, but it's not happening because we didn't know about it. It might not happen inside our ecosystem, it might happen outside. It might be the result of someone getting a mail or something like that.
So
then you can use these declarative extensions to piece that together.
Yeah, so you can construct your own
customized
workflow.
It's kind of a dangerous thing because it's not trying to.
No, it's not a workflow.
It's not trying to.
But it is a. You could actually. It's a process. It's like you call it a recipe.
Hmm.
So it's a stepwise process. It's like okay, execute this. So it is like a workflow or a flow control language, right? You can do elements and you can you then wait for feedback? Can it send out an event and wait for asynchronously feedback? Is that possible? So say that I send an event, but
I definitely think it can. We have spent now a month time really thinking about the architecture, right? There's beauty in keeping it simple, but maybe by just saying okay, this flow happens first, and then another flow could be triggered by it. We can still keep it simple. And asynchronous and out of even with spans of days and still work, right? Because if we make this too complex, these users, non-programmers won't be able to.
No, but the challenge is as well, if you have something that runs for a long time, you don't want to keep too much state around, I guess.
No.
So what you're suggesting is that if such a thing needs to happen, it would send off an event and then that piece is done, right? Then if another triggering event comes back based on a response based on that one, it will kick off some other code, essentially, right? And then it's just from a UI perspective, how you model it, the system needs to
kind of
collect
them, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
They need to kind of collect
it.
So you now we talked a little about Wanda as well. Would you be able in the future to create your own agents, your own bots using this? Would that be possible for people like at some point, is a vision for extension kits to offer that? I know that will come with coding.
That will come with coding, definitely.
But it's part of the kind of like the longer term. How do you see that?
Yeah, we have definitely. I think I can say that those things to add new coded capabilities to the ecosystem, that will be possible. And it will be under this extensions kit umbrella. And again, just using what we have learned from creating standard software. So the way we host stuff, the way we make it available to the ecosystem and announce your presence and send events and so on, we think there's merit in trying to simplify that and make that accessible for our partners, basically.
Yeah, so
creating a new bot then will be possible.
So initially, the focus is on creating the declarative extension, so you can start kind of manipulating the flow within the complete ecosystem of global applications. business world, student management, time and expense, Prevero, and all these good stuff, right? Other applications, of course, can use it as well if they just adopt the methods of an enterprise documents, and everybody who wants to participate and have these capabilities. For example, if any application decides to be a first-class citizen of the ecosystem, meaning adoption of methods of an enterprise document, they automatically would gain these access to the extensions kit. So there's a lot of good, you know, motivation for actually doing that, because you get all these technologies for free. You don't really have to do anything further, because it's all in the box. So that's the initial. And then second, the second kind of phase of this is to be coded, to create coded extensions, right? And when we create these coded extensions, what you're saying is then you can actually go and create like a new bot for Wanda. You can create actors, right, that sits and reacts and responds to messages. It's like a service kind of thing.
Yes, basically add something that does something substantial and has a contract.
Yeah.
And sort of put it into the system, the ecosystem, and announce its presence. And then it can be used by declarative extensions to glue it together with the others, of course.
Yeah.
Or basically doing complete new things, like being a bot.
And also, I guess at some point, you'll be able to create a complete application with a UI and on top of this, right? It's going to sit in using the same mechanism, the same SDKs at the end. So what, from an availability perspective, what are we looking at? You know, when is the first version with declarative extensions going to be available? And what is
We're working very hard on this. We think to have the first version of declarative extensions available in the end of March.
End of March.
Yeah. So we're quite optimistic about that.
Okay.
We did actually a quite exciting prototype or proof of concept in the fall, 2016. That's sort of showed that this is entirely possible.
Okay, and that also means that one thing, you know, is that for the next Crazy Lab days, the idea is that this would be around creating the most cool extensions, right, using these technologies.
Yeah. Thinking about that, but we're trying to rush it for now.
From an adoption perspective, if applications want to use these technologies, they need to essentially adopt three elements, right? They need the IDS adoption, the identity services is mandatory. They need to adopt methods up, right?
Yep.
They need to start out sending events. They need to adopt the enterprise documents.
Yeah,
that's kind of like the core three technologies they need to.
Let's say the events that you send out should have enterprise documents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. True.
JSON documents that describe your data.
Okay.
Because we're going to depend on that for the filtering.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Anything else we want to mention on this interesting topic? It's going to be a key technology for our cloud offering, because it allows you to extend the solution without actually creating code changes that runs inside the same memory space as the core applications. So it's pretty important.
Yeah, I believe it is. I think it will bring, first of all, it's a really exciting project to work on. But I think it's going to be a great tool and a good business model for our partners, but for our customers to have the ability to sort of customize their self-driven experience, it's going to be killer.
Yeah. So, and as usual, you can find information about this project, where you can find all kind of information of what we're doing on u4pp.com.
Yep.
If you're on our SharePoint, you can find all the information there, and it's named the extension. I think it's named the extension kit. Right, isn't it? The project is in the Unit 4 Extensions Kit, extending the Unit 4 Cloud. You can find some more information there. And I think that concludes today's Meet the Experts. Thank you. Thank you for stopping by.
Thanks
and we look forward to seeing this in March.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.